Perkins to get the Word of God ready. He shared a thought, and Brother Mitch, I can't remember if it was a prayer devotion or a Sunday school lesson where you shared about feet. And I thought, that is a great thought. And I said to him afterwards, I'd like for you to develop that. I want that to be a message. So tonight's the night he's going to share that with you. Praise God. Let's stand together. Welcome Brother Perkins to the pulpit. And just give appreciation to all of our ministry team. God bless them for the work that they put forth. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, I love foot washing. I do. I do. You know, I remember Brother Bernard preaching that there will always be three major pitfalls in a minister's life. Pride, lust, and greed. And whenever greed tries to get a hold of somebody, an offering plate is a good fix. But I find pride's always been mine, and foot washing helps it. Pride doesn't want to wash feet. So I love the opportunity to force any pride out of me to get down and wash feet. Amen. I'm glad that God knew. He knew if it, for anybody, it was at least for me. We're going to wash feet. Amen. Pastor Glover asked me to develop a thought, and ironically, I kept meditating, kept praying, kept chewing on it, and nothing came. To the point that I almost felt disobedient. And then he came Sunday, and he said, "Do you remember that thought?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want you to talk about it Thursday." I'm like, okay. And then everything just started to open up. So I'd like to share what I've received. And the thought being, it was out of John 1:27. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." And the thought was, who am I to loose what God has put on? So I want to talk tonight about from the feet up. From the feet up. Lord, we thank you. We know that you're here. We know that your presence, your spirit, your anointing. God, help me. Help me convey what you have stirred in my spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I promise I'll try and keep this quick. You told me to keep it quick, and so I shall. As we have gone through this year, there has been a theme. And it starts always with the pastor. Anybody who thinks that they can cast the vision, they're wrong. God doesn't speak to the congregation about where this city is going. He adds to what the pastor has gotten. It will grow and it will be attached. If it is something completely separated from what your man of God has gotten, it's probably not from God. Like, oh, the pastor said we're doing this, but I really feel unction, we're going to do this. That's not from God. You need to stay submitted. Sometimes submission is a humility check. It really is. Sometimes I need it. Sometimes offense is a humility check. I remember Brother Hernandez teaching me. He said, "Did that hurt?" I'm like, "Yes." He said, "Well, aren't you supposed to be crucified?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Corpses don't feel it." I said, "Oh." "Oh." "Yeah. Yeah, that put me on my face. Yeah, that one hurt. But he was right. As we've gone through, Pastor has preached that this year is the open door. And the worst thing that we can do is be like the foolish virgins and not prepare ourselves for what's coming open. Because we will weep if we arrive after he has shut it. There is something that is coming to this congregation. There is something that is coming to this state. There is something, and it has been prophesied over and over and over again. I know that the Lord, once he cast that vision, it was from the very first of the year for me. I told you, I preached it. He prepares a table. He has prepared it. Then it was Brother Levi that he was sitting there, prepared for promise. Then it was Sister Donna. And I mean, it was Brother Mike, and he was, if you have been wearied by the footmen, how are you going to contend with the horses? Then it was Sister Donna stretching forth for promise. And then it's back to Pastor Glover, open door. And then it's Jeff Glover talking about a woman at the feet of Christ. And then we have Greg Glover talk about, are you willing? Then he's talking about the overflowing of the Jordan. And then he's talking, can anything good come out of Galilee? Well, church, what we just did is beyond just a ritual. What we just did is so powerful, we might not even understand it yet. Because this year, more than any other, have I felt closer to the promises of God in this moment, what we just did, than I ever have ever before. And the reason for it is that when Brother Jeff Glover was up here and he was preaching about that sinner, and I don't call her a sinner. The Bible calls her a sinner. We have to be honest with our condition, because she didn't leave a sinner. It's okay to come to his feet. Don't let God bring you to his feet. That's called judgment. When he has to bring the world to his feet, rather than the world bringing themselves to his feet, those are two different outcomes. But what the Lord stirred on me is she took that alabaster box, she broke it, and she's weeping over his feet, drying it with her hair. It says she anointed his feet and anointed his head. Now the disciples, particularly Judas, like, why are you wasting that? But the Lord began to stir on me as he preached that what is broken at his feet releases the anointing of what he does next. And all of a sudden, we go up to minister's retreat, and it is, we need to heal. We need to heal because we will harm the harvest if we don't. And so I'm up there weeping. Brother Jeff's preaching. He's getting into me. And I look at this, and all of a sudden, when he said, I want you ready to preach within less than 6 hours, I came down so sick, it's unexplainable. Me and both my boys, one after the other, it was Jason, me, Tristan, all within 2 hours. You would have thought it was food poisoning, but it wasn't. And it was relentless. It was vicious. But then the next day, it turned into the flu. And I'm running a fever, and all my joints are swollen. I can't even get out of bed. All my kids are laid up on the couch. The next day, it turns into a lung infection. Fever's gone, joints are okay. The next day, it's a sinus infection. I'm like, what is going on? And the Lord said, rebuke this attack.
All right.
I'm like, Lord? He said, rebuke it. I'm like, okay. Name Jesus Christ, this is enough. You can go. Dried up. Felt better. But in that time of sickness, I'm like, Lord, all I could do was think about this message. I was sitting in bed. I couldn't go anywhere. And all I could do was think of this. And God started to talk to me. One of the last messages Brother Hernandez ever preached to me was talking about foot level authority. This is 6 days before he goes into the hospital and goes into a coma. This is his last message, was talking about foot level authority, something God had shown him. And he said, if you want the greatest anointing you've ever had, you need to learn to sit at feet. He said, because the anointing runs down the head, runs down Aaron's beard, runs down the garment. And he said, what the man of God can't use in his anointing pulls at his feet. And he said, God will always give more than the man of God could ever use because he's willing to overflow for the humble. There is some things that you will only ever be able to access through humility. That's why it is foolishness to have a congregation that would reject foot washing. But when Jesus began to wash feet, Peter, who's my boy, I love Peter. Though he messes up, Peter has a good heart. Peter is all about it. He really is. I'll go to the cross with you. You won't even make it a night, Peter. But his heart was with him. He meant it. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. And it isn't wonderful that church tradition says that Peter was eventually led to that cross. That God doesn't see your failure and reject your vow and commitment to him. I will follow you there. I'll give you another shot, Peter. Just because you stumbled doesn't mean it's over. But he starts to talk to Peter. And he says, Peter, I need to wash your feet. And then Peter does something that too often I do and I watch other Christians do. No, Lord, not me. I'm not worthy. You shouldn't be doing this to me. First off, let's get this out of the way. None of us are worthy. We have all fallen short. There is nothing you can ever do that is going to make you worthy of what he does. I'm sorry. You can't earn this. And it's not so much that, oh, I'm not worthy. It's that mentality of what happens when a person starts to believe that they are. Because that's what happened to Saul. Oh, I'm no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden it was, how dare you speak to me like that? Oh, you think you're going to be the next king? He went from not worthy to I'll tell you who's worthy. This is the first priest slayer. And Peter, he's, no, 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 no. And so Jesus tells him something. He says, you don't understand what I'm doing right now. You don't understand right now, but you will. But if you don't let me wash you, you have no part in me. And so Peter, he does exactly what I do. Well, don't just wash my feet only. You know, let's get in here. He's like, no, Peter. When you're clean, you just have to wash the feet. Because Jesus is doing something that Moses foreshadowed. In Exodus 40, the Lord instructed Moses, I want you to take Aaron and his sons and I want you to wash them for what I'm about ready to let them walk in. What they're about ready to be robed with and what they're about ready to step into, they cannot step into without being washed first. This is the year that our pastor has said God is about ready to open a door. And we had our feet washed. This is not something I can do for myself. This is not something you can do for yourself. It must be done as God commanded it. You must wash each other's feet because it is preparing us for what He is about ready to put on us. I wash your feet for what you're about ready to walk into. Moses washed Aaron's feet for what he was about ready to walk into. And so all of a sudden, here we are in a year of open doors where Pastor Greg has said, are you willing? It's starting to overflow. And the only way that you can get to this promise is if the Jordan is pulled aside and God opens it. You might be mighty enough to make it yourself, but you'll have to abandon your kids if you want to do it by flesh. And I ran to this altar with my boys and my child, my daughter, Lord, please, please, let me not be so arrogant that I think I can push into promise by myself. Because I've been pushing since I've been in this. Because mine started with the miraculous. And it has been promised that it would not only return, but it would exceed anything I've already experienced. And I have knocked until my knuckles are bloody on that door. And I've knocked some more. And this year, the Lord started to stir on me the importance of this foot washing. Because He took His disciples and washed their feet after His feet had been washed by that woman's tears. She prepared me for a ministry shift, He says. She is preparing me for this burial, this sacrifice that I'm about ready to perform. The reconciliation of mankind unto God. And so He takes His disciples and prepares them to be apostles. You're going to walk in something you haven't walked in yet. But I've been telling you about it. And so He starts washing their feet. And all of a sudden, they are prepared for what God is about ready to release. And as Brother Greg was up here preaching, he said, there's only been two times that the Jordan has ever been dry. Once is when they entered in with the ark, and the other was when the mantle was utilized. But Leviticus says that no garment can be placed on an unclean thing, lest it be counted as unclean itself. We have just been made clean right now, completely Passover clean. And there have been mantles that people have been promised that the Lord started to stir on me are going to be released. Because Brother Hernandez, he gave a promise, an outward promise, and it triggered quite the battle. It really did. And he said, Brother Mitchell, and he did it openly, mind you. And it wasn't cool like Sister Glover's. Said, Brother Mitchell, God has showed me your safe house. You have a safe house. God's going to make it crumble. He's going to expose you. Boy, whew. You could hear the snickers. Got them now. He said, but it's not going to expose you to the enemy. It's going to expose you to the angels. Because it's not for what you've done wrong. It's for what you've done righteous. I want you to know when God looks at you, He doesn't see what you've done wrong. He sees what you've done right. And what you've done right is when you've turned to Him. When you've cried to Him. When you've believed in Him. When you said, Lord, and nothing is showing what you have declared, but I am going to hold on to it anyway. This world looks like we are headed for defeat, when in reality we are headed towards the greatest victory the church has ever seen. And so all of a sudden at these feet of Jesus, everything starts to change. Because at His feet there's mercy. And now that He's washed ours and it is this open door, do you even know what we're about ready to walk into? This wasn't just a ceremony so we could take communion. And I'm not disrespecting any of it. But the Lord began to stir on me so strongly. As Brother Hernandez continued his prophecy, he said, you will change the atmosphere, not only by reason of what you say, but by reason of what you walk in. Have you not heard that you're the roots of this peninsula? And that man up here said, don't worry if you see others getting fruit. It's because the roots dug deep. But you know who's going to know that the tree's becoming fruitful first? The roots will, because they're going to feel what's flowing through it. It's going to be drawn in from here. You're going to feel a deep flow that's been prophesied. Because the roots don't go for the shallow surface water. It goes for what's flowing deep that nobody can see, but the roots sense it's there. And so they keep pushing through all the muck. It keeps pushing through all the mud because it knows, it just knows there's something there that if we could just tap into this, there's going to be a harvest that starts flowing into this tree. God talks about power from the bottom up, from the feet up. If you want to be the greatest, be the least. You want to be the greatest of all, be the servant of all. See, the military doesn't understand that at all. And the thing is I understand leadership, I understand submission, I understand it like the centurion. But the centurion mindset, everything has come from the top down. When God wants His church to understand, it comes from the feet up. He washed feet because everything requires you being founded in humility. Because if you don't remain humble, what happens when He releases such a great anointing? Was not Lucifer greatly anointed? Was he not greatly positioned? Was he not greatly gifted? And look what happened. I don't want to fall out of His presence. Because I'm in the presence of God with pride, declaring, look how great I am. Did you hear that, Pastor Glover? That was an amazing sermon. Boy, I think I'm ready to preach conferences. Please. This is why I read my Bible every year. I understand we have to get the daily word. I understand I have to feed myself. But you know, one of the giftings that God gives me every year is revelation. One, He shows me something I've never seen in Him. And two, it reminds me I was too dumb to see it last year. Amen? So the second I think that I'm just really high and mighty and I'm so smart, He will make sure to show me, you didn't see this. You're right, I didn't. Revelation should be a humbling thing. But church, there's something that happens at the feet. You know, when Moses saw Joshua battling, he positioned himself on a mountain so the battle would be underneath his feet. But you know, you read of Caleb taking a mountain in the Promised Land at 80. You don't read of Moses holding a sword. Do you know what it is to look at somebody else's battle and pray? Pray for them, because if they lose, it means your demise as well. I have positioned myself that your victory is the only way that I get safety from this. You don't think that He doesn't do that for you? I'm not rebuking. I'm just saying. If you've forgotten, let me remind you. And who's had it hard? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. I know we'd all raise it. Look how many battles He's had to cover. Don't you think He needs a cruise? Don't you think He needs to put His feet up? I'm worn out just by my stuff. He's got all of our stuff. That's how you know. That's how you know God is with this church. He hasn't had a mental breakdown yet. Honest, I'm not, I love the man of God, and I'm not making fun. Do you honestly think that any person here could spiritually carry this weight without the anointing and help of God? It would be crushing. That's how you know He's staying at His feet. When we sit here and we're at foot level, do you realize that that is the most dangerous place for the enemy? Till the enemy is his footstool. Is it any wonder why the enemy has to entice you to come out of your prayer closet? He don't want to approach Jesus' feet. That's a sure crushing. He knows he's going to get his head stomped. So what does he have to do? He has to tempt you first. Come here. Come here. I need you away. Can you just get a little distance from him? Please. Please, 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 please. In Ephesians, it is, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Lord told those as they were exiting Egypt, I want you to be prepared. You get your sandals on. And the ones that they put on never worn out. They never wore out the entire time in the wilderness. This gospel will never wear out for all eternity. But we need this on us. We need this on us. If you think you can stomp the head of the enemy with the heel of your flesh, you are going to make a mistake. Don't ever let your flesh come in contact with the enemy. You're going to fight a battle that you're not ready for, and you're not likely to win. You need the gospel, the peace, the word, as the insulator between you and what you're stomping on. You better get your stomping boots on. Don't do this in flesh. It will bite you. It will sting you. It will activate every ounce of your flesh that you got. And if you have crucified it and starved it, it will go on an absolute tear. It will be like it just had an injection of steroids. Pride and offense, left and right. Whatever your flavor is, it's serving it up. Distraction, and all of a sudden you're binging on it. But church, we need the gospel of the preparation. We need the preparation of the gospel of peace for another reason. Because when we walk into that harvest field, we don't want to crush it. When I am stepping through this harvest field, he said, lift your eyes, the heads are white, but he didn't say they were upright. You know how beaten up this harvest is from what is the world's doing to it right now? We don't want to be the ones stepping on what we should be harvesting. If God can walk in peace to where he doesn't sink in water, then you can walk in a manner where you don't crush the wounded. But church, there is one last thing I want to mention that God stirred on me. And it is in Acts 2. Peter standing up with the 11. Where do you think he was standing when he started to speak? I know where he physically was. But where was he spiritually standing at that moment too? And in Acts 3, all of a sudden something happens. It says a certain man in verse 2, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now he couldn't go in because he was lame. I know you've heard this before. You were restricted from going in because you can't walk. And if they're going to sit there and his own disciples will be, who sinned with this blind man? Do you honestly think people passing him by saw him as righteous? And so he's going to his modern day church as deep as he can go. He's pressed right up against the gate every single day, hoping to just get enough mercy and grace to make it to the next day. And there are church members that live like that. They come to church just hoping, I can make it to the next day. I hope I can make it to the next service. It's so rough. It's so hard. It's so overwhelming. I don't even feel like I can walk. And if they didn't have friends to carry them there, they wouldn't even make it. But all of a sudden, these beautiful feet show up. Beautiful are the feet. How are they going to hear if there's no preacher? Beautiful are the feet. But that word beautiful means right on time. It means timely. And so here's this man sitting as close as he can get to something he's never experienced and walked in. He's never entered into it. He could only hear what happens. He can only sit there and, oh, well, I heard an angel showed up and said that there'd be a baby. I've heard of worship that takes place over there. Or I've heard that God, He's moved over there. I've heard that there's been miracles. And isn't that the modern church where we hear what happens overseas? We hear what's happened with a Billy Cole. We hear what's happened in the times of the T.W. Barnes. And you're pressed right up the gate and you're like, I've heard about it, but I've never seen it. I've heard these things, but I've never seen them. I've heard these things. I've never experienced them. But I know that they got to be real. God, can't you just do something so I can enter in? But we can get to a place where we just become conditioned to simply beg for help. And that become our whole church walk. Lord, just please help me. Lord, just please help me. But all of a sudden, here comes ones with freshly washed feet coming out of an upper room of what God has just released on them. Walking to the temple. And we know what Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand and lifted him up. And notice in verse 7, his feet and ankle bones received strength. He didn't feel it come from the head down. He didn't feel it come from his arm. He didn't feel it go through his hand. He didn't feel it come through his spine. The first place he felt God touch him was at his feet. And now all of a sudden, Peter lifts him up, and this man who has never walked is standing in what they're walking in. He's standing hand in hand with him with what they're walking in. And it says they walked through the gates and he started leaping. I know that we love to talk about how he was walking. Why don't we talk about how this man never knew that kind of worship before? He didn't know what it meant to praise God like that before, because he's walking in a place that he's never been before. Church, do you know what's going to happen to our worship when we cross the threshold of this open door that the pastor has said is coming open? He wasn't leaping because his legs worked. His legs were leaping because his soul couldn't contain the joy of where he was. And church, what I want to tell you is that everything that's been preached this year, everything that's been prayed this year, it's been for a reason. And what you just did for each other in humility is preparing our feet for what God is going to have this church walk in when it comes open. It's coming open. It is coming open. I don't know if you have felt it in the prayer room. I don't know if you have felt it, but it is coming open. And our feet are prepared to walk right in. Church, Brother Greg said, the only way to pull that Jordan back is with a mantle. And he called them to the upper room. And he poured out something on them that allowed them to walk in an authority that was just world-changing. And I know we call it world-changing, but more than that, it was an eternity changer. We're not here to change people's lives. We're here to change their eternities. And what this is, it starts from the feet up. If I can't weep at his feet, there'll be no power. If I can't cast it at his feet, there'll be no power. If I can't wash your feet, there's no power. If I can't admit that I need you to help me and wash me so that I can walk in this too, there is no power. Because church, in this kingdom, God does it backwards. It doesn't come from the head down. It comes from the feet up. Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that God has a plan. It doesn't happen haphazardly and, you know, in chaos and confusion. And God says, well, let me sort this out here. Let's see what can I bring out of this mess. No, the Lord has a plan. Amen. And we can walk and operate in that plan. Praise God. And see what the Lord is going to do. The hand that he has to demonstrate. Praise the Lord. John had it right. I can't even untie his shoes. But he also had it right when he said, he must increase, I must decrease. Amen. Because the more you have of him, obviously, the more you're going to be able to receive. Praise God. That man from Gadara, clothed and in his right mind, and sitting at the feet of Jesus, gaining, increasing, learning, receiving, he wanted to keep going. The Lord said, go home. Tell him what good things the Lord has done for you. And he didn't just go there. He went to 10 cities, Decapolis, telling what good things. That's what the Lord will do for us. Amen. Those are the doors that are going to open. Hallelujah. One family, one person. Yeah. How about 10 more? Praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you now. We thank you now for your goodness.